Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to help you awaken your spirit. If you want to learn how to open the door to your divine self, you are in the right place. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Intuitive Awakening. Thank you for joining me for today's episode. We have a lovely guest today. Aisha Love is joining us. Aisha is a multidimensional guide, a metaphysician. She's a spirit medium and best-selling author who supports emerging and evolving healers. Her presence speaks directly to those navigating their shadows, deconstructing old identities, and learning how to lead from love instead of performance. She's the founder of Multidimensional You, a multimedia company devoted to going beyond conscious and becoming multidimensional. Her 2023 book, Love is the Foundation, became a bestseller in health and spirituality, and she's a contributing author to the USA Today bestseller, Liminary Leadership. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Deanna. It's lovely to be here with you and your audience.
We're so happy to have you here. I know you're here today to talk about shadow work as soul retrieval. I am so unfamiliar with soul retrieval, so I'm excited to have this conversation. But I want to hear about your initial journey into shadow work and the why behind it.
Yeah, you bet. And I feel like I should really frame up my background and how I came into this. So I didn't come in by our conventional way, which is certainly where the first part of my life started, right? School, academia, college degree, go about a profession. I did it in a bit of a different way through maybe the best term is osmosis. So I went through a metaphysical awakening beginning in 08, 09 with the passing of my father. And it basically kicked open a different level of technology. So I studied anthropology and archaeology in college, and I define everything by technology. And technology is simply, the archaeological definition would be less input or work for more result, more, you know, so ultimately less work. Yeah. And so I'm a big fan of, you know, what's the most efficient or effective modality, method, strategy for anything. And when it comes to us remembering who we really are and advancing the human race and evolving the human species, that's the game I'm in. That's my passion. So I did have that passion before my multidimensional awakening. And then as I moved through it, and the separations between multidimensional reality began to shift for me, and that means they just weren't so clear cut, I started to access a greater field, sometimes known as the unified field. And so shadow work really just started to appear in my own body of work as a metaphysician, working with mainly the world's healers, kind of out of the ether. All of a sudden, I was guiding people in this way that I started to recognize, wait a minute, I think this thing is called shadow work, or sometimes, you know, I'm watching parts work that people are familiar with all of a sudden show up in my sessions. So that feels really germane to the conversation today. I'm always, you know, as a channel just coming on, it's like, what wants to come through? What wants to be spoken? What do people need to hear right now? And you can imagine every conversation is just a little bit different. And that one is really specific to your channel, is that there's a different way to approach how we move into a calling, a profession, into alignment with our soul purpose. And it doesn't have to take a decade of certification or learning in the traditional way. In fact, I'm hearing right now that humanity doesn't really have time for a lot of traditional ways. We need people just kind of waking up and accessing what's available to us so that we can move this needle forward. So that, I don't know, between you and me, maybe we don't all just kill each other. I think maybe that's the end goal. So that felt important to kind of frame up how I came into this. And then, you know, it's fun. I can go research Carl Jung online and be like, oh, this is where the term shadow came from. And this is what we're doing. And his understanding of, you know, the different stages of kind of the human psyche and the evolution of remembering who we really are has definitely a context for, you know, what I'm doing with healers so that they can start to find all of the wounded motivation in their blind spot. Meaning from a very young age, we learn, well, indirectly or very directly from adults, that part of me, that behavior, this way of being, that characteristic, that way of talking, is not acceptable and not lovable. So what am I going to do? I'm going to like find a way to put that aside and start to move in out of like performance, masking. And we don't even know we're doing it because it's a survival strategy to not be kicked out of the tribe, exiled, abandoned, unloved, all of that. But at a certain point, our soul plan usually kicks in and it's like, hey, you, time to wake up in there. And let's take a look at all the blind spots in your wounded motivation, because we end up going in directions in life and kind of distorting things out of that blind spot, if that makes sense. So that's kind of a long answer to your question, but I felt like it was important to give the context that I'm not, I didn't train in psychotherapy and approach this that way. I watched it emerge in my session work, working with people. And I basically work with their soul, their higher self, their team of spirit guides. And I watch their guides direct me with laser focus in the excavation of their shadow. And it's just amazing. I've learned so much, along the way. So that's what I want to invite people into is a much broader conversation and idea like, wait a minute, maybe I have access to learning that doesn't require a classroom. Maybe it could come through my multidimensional structure.
Yes, definitely. So I know you said your awakening began with the death of your father. So when this occurred, what was, I guess, prior to this, what was your view of life, reality, and why we were here?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty ironic. I mean, I was a skeptic about all things metaphysical, which is really hilarious. I feel like we're all just playing a cosmic prank on ourselves here, right? I think, I was raised by an engineer and a microbiologist, Cartesian worldview, evolution, standard biological evolution. I was passionate about paleoanthropology, the study of human evolution. I was determined I was going to find the missing link. It went a little further afield than that. And so it was a pretty conventional upbringing. And I do recall or remember at age 19 having this moment of kind of looking around the planet and going, did I get off on the wrong stop on the intergalactic tramway? Because this planet is like, it's kind of bananas. Like, there's so much conflict and violence. And I remember having that feeling of like, do I really belong here? Like, what is this? Struggling to understand it.
Yeah, I think many people, especially right now, are having those similar questions. Like, I don't feel like I belong here in this reality with all the war, all the polarization, division. There's just, it seems like it's so amplified. And maybe it's because we have, it's seen on media and we have access to, like a smaller form of media. So we're constantly kind of tuned into that. But it does seem like there is this really strong divisive energy.
Okay. I knew we were going to talk about this. This is really important right now and very timely given the last week of what's happened here and when we're taping. So my remembering took me through all the different levels of remembering and into the polarity dramas up and out of them. And where I've gone to my remembering is that this is a mirror dimension. So everything is being reflected to us from the holographic projection that we are, going outward and then showing up in our reality. And the ultimate goal of this game, in my direct experience, is to remember that at the foundation, we're all part of the one source. We might be many different fractals of that one source. And the foundation is love, and we are all love. And everything else is a distortion. And it's kind of like a Rubik's Cube. Can you just jam it all up? And then can you get all the coherence and balance and unity back? And can you distort love to the point where and create so much separation from source consciousness that you forget, and it's a huge game of hide and seek, and it's super distorted, and so the realm runs on fear rather than love. And so I've been through massive tests of initiation to get me to that place of equanimity and understanding. It's not for everyone, and it won't be for everyone in this lifetime, but that is ultimately where, if you study any of the teachers who came to try to impart wisdom to humanity, this is kind of where they got to. This is a reason why they could be master healers, is because no dis-ease could exist in the vicinity in which they were reshaping reality fields around them. So that's the bigger picture. And what really wants to be remembered right now through this amplification And most of the healers I work with, myself included, are watching our own shadow and lingering distortions that we don't realize are still there get super amplified. And we're turning the volume up on them so that we can't miss them. We can't ignore them because it's time to alchemize them and transmute them back into something more coherent and not distorted. So, like, I'll take it out of the esoteric. Last year, 18 months ago, all of a sudden out of the ether came this realization, this remembering that one of my shadow pieces is a core wounding from must be very early in childhood that I developed a story that no one cares and I'm not supported. And I have to admit, at the time, my adult, I was shocked. I was like, what? I had no idea that was there. But then, you start reviewing and you're like, well, this would explain the hyper independence. This would explain the overachiever, the lone wolf. Like all the patterns in this lifetime derived from that distortion and self-perception and in my story, in my narrative. Now, just because we recognize that piece of shadow doesn't mean it instantly goes away. If anything, this is where neuroplasticity comes in, right? Because those grooves run deep, those ruts run deep. It's a whole state of being that entrains a whole biochemical reaction, and then it becomes our norm. And there are many, many people working on this and helping people find their way out of that. But fundamentally, when we have these core distortions in our blind spots, we're all acting from a place of fear and trying to gain conditional love. And at this time, we're turning the volume way up so we can't miss it. So if you know this, it's quite the little like key to the kingdom, so to speak, of like the reality hack to just move out in your day and say, what's showing up in my reality? I'm going to treat that as a reflection of what there might be a judgment that I'm projecting. Because, anytime we're judging, we're just projecting some part of what we don't accept about ourselves out onto the world. So when you collapse the middleman and just start working with it here. So, for example, if you judge being lazy, not getting enough done in a day, well, that tells us, okay, somewhere from an early age, I developed the idea that it's not lovable and acceptable to not do very much or be productive or be seen that way. Whew. And so what, for those of us who are here to hold the coherence, we're cranking the volume way up on that to the point where we can't get away with it anymore. We can't move out of shame of being unsuccessful or unproductive, or these are obviously mine, right? The classic overachiever stuff. But I know a lot of people can resonate with this. Like I have all the degrees, right? And magna cum laude, and like all of it. But that's not what we're actually here for. We're here to find the places we don't love ourselves and be able to apply unconditional love to all of it.
Definitely. So if somebody were to hear all of this, and this is, brand new to them, they might just really struggle with the whole idea or the notion of, I'm here on this planet to learn love. Like, what would you tell somebody
Yeah.
who really struggled to understand, like, well, what would be the purpose of coming here?
Yeah. I like the term remember because we all are at our core and our source, love. That is the absolute foundation of it all. But I don't, I mean, maybe we get bored just hanging out in pure love all the time. So we concoct these games of like, let's create, and then the creations create. And we all have free will choice, so we can use it in interesting ways and create distortion. And then, then you can kind of see things can kind of get stuck in a pattern. And so then you have other fractals of consciousness saying, like, I see they have a problem in sector whatever of living creation. Let's all go in there and see if we can help shift things a little bit. Not to do it for that evolving consciousness that's remembering itself. But to just help it on its way. Like I used to joke, it's like the interdimensional Peace Corps, right? Just a little tech transfer. But fundamentally, it is to remember that we are love. And so judgment's the curriculum. If you really want the fast track to wake up and kind of move into a new level of a playground here, look at all of your judgments. Those are all the places you don't love yourself. Like one of my last ones that I had to come to grips with was like, I don't love, I don't accept people who I would deem as being arrogant or a-holes. Like that was like one of my last judgments that I hadn't seen because it's so acceptable to judge that. And yet that's still a judgment. And in physics, judgment's resistance. So what you resist persists. So we're actually propping up all the very things that we think we don't like by judging them.
Interesting. So, you said this is a mirror planet, correct?
Mirror dimension.
Mirror dimension. So some people would probably object to that to a certain degree because they might say, okay, well, I was born into, I don't know, a country where there's, constant war. I lost this person in my family. I lost my parents. I lost this and that. I don't know. Something like all these continuously horrible things happen to me. It almost seems like they are to blame. And I'm just trying to give you from a devil's advocate kind of
For
perspective.
sure. Oh yeah, this
It's
is tricky territory because it can sound like gaslighting and minimizing. So you have to zoom way, way, way out, which is before we even incarnate as souls, and we do pre-birth planning, and we have certain goals for this lifetime. So if we want to experience, let's say, I don't know, the idea of overcoming. So maybe we would decide at age 12 we'll go into an accident, car accident, become like a paraplegic, and then we're going to set about going through all that journey, which can be like we can fall into victim consciousness, we can, self-pity, like, and then at some point we realize we wait, I have my mind still, and we set about setting a goal, and we decide maybe I can even, join the Paralympics. Maybe I'm not as limited as I think I am. You want to take this even further. People are playing around with healing and recovering their own bodies. Like, that would be an amazing curriculum for a soul to experience, like extreme disability to then transcend, or just to have extreme disability as a valid experience and experience life with that level of limitation. From the soul's perspective, a human life is just so different than how we as humans see it. And I often joke with my clients, like, yeah, I don't know if we were smoking crack when we set all this up or what we think is a fun game, but apparently we have a different perspective, And so the goal isn't necessarily to make everything copacetic here. It's to see if we can meet all of the difficulty or challenge, what is challenging from a human perspective, with greater equanimity and love, not fear. And that, in my direct experience, what I've found is when I get to equanimity with something and I drop out of resistance and judgment to what is, usually because I'm in a victim story, all of a sudden things start to shift and my reality is different and new possibilities start to open and I'm not in the same story. So to your point, we will certainly take on lives that have a lot of challenges with them, but it's not by accident. It's not by coincidence. It's to see at the soul level how much can we meet that with the remembering that we are love. And no judgment if a person spends their entire life in resentment and bitterness. As a former spirit medium, I could tell you that when you drop the body and you do your life review, your perspective is so different. And so, what I try to, like, I'm super motivated by not getting to my life review and going, oh my God, I forgot again. I'm not doing that again. I must have done it a lot. But to be motivated, like if you're going to show yourself your whole life review, which you will in surround sound, not out of judgment, just as a reflection, what do you want to see on those screens? Do you want to go, wow, I really did my best to not give in to a lot of judgment, prejudice, fear, self-pity? Did I really rise to the occasion and continue to choose love no matter what? At a certain point, I faced a lot of health issues. And I remember I made the decision one day. I'm like, okay, I don't care if I end up in a wheelchair. I'll keep on going. I'll just keep moving forward. I'll learn how to work a wheelchair, And it's that type of, persistence. And I'm not saying it's easy by any stretch, but I will say in my experience and working with many people, one of the stickiest traps we can get into consciousness-wise here is the self as victim trap.
Yes. It is very, very hard to overcome that, I think, probably every lifetime. So
And there, go ahead, please.
now I was going to ask you, so how do people begin the journey to look, identify and see like those shadow aspects of themselves? Like what is kind of like some of the first steps that you would take?
Well, There's so many things I could say about this, but the one that popped right to the top, so I'm going to honor that, is invite self-disclosures and self-reveals to just drop in. You'll be out on a walk, you'll be in the shower, and all of a sudden you'll just see it. And if your experience is anything like mine is, it kind of sets you back and you kind of go, oh my goodness, I had no idea that was in my blind spot. So you might need a moment to integrate. But everyone is perfectly capable of inviting these kinds of self-disclosures in and then working with them. But to my daughter's 19 and she and I live this as a lifestyle. And to her point, it can be really hard to look at your own shadow because we're still in on a planet which normalizes shame and not wanting to be seen. Like we took in this realm separation from each other to an extreme degree. In other systems, other dimensions, it's way more fluid, and every individuated, being can kind of see each other in a way that we pretend we can't see each other here, unless you are open back up as a psychic intuitive, and then you're seeing and feeling all of it. So we kind of took the game to an extreme here, but what that did is it allowed for us to think we can hide certain aspects of ourselves from other people, from ourselves, things that we might have shame about that we don't think are acceptable. And those are the things that are in our blind spots that are distorting our self-perception and fundamentally limiting our life path. And so by inviting in a self-disclosure of something like that, here's one again for me. A couple of years ago, I finally realized that all of like I've had massive financial success and then whoa, way down, like a big roller coaster. And it really took me a minute to understand, oh my goodness, I love myself when I'm doing well, and I don't love myself when I perceive myself as not doing well. Now, that may seem like common sense on the surface, but when you're working with this alchemy, it's stunning because you realize I am judging, withholding love. I'm not treating myself very well. I'm not speaking to myself very well. And that's the game, is to neutralize all of that, except all of that is like, for example, on the playground, we don't tell somebody who goes to play on the swings, are you an idiot? Why do you go on the swings? This is, you got to go on the slide. Like the playground's the playground. One experience is not more or less valid than the other. So that's where humanity is just has baked in judgment of what they think is acceptable and what is not. And this can be hard for people to hear, but there really is no judgment on the other side for anything. It's all unconditional love.
I think it's so I'm making some assumptions here. So let's say people do have these revelations. It can be really difficult to look at them, accept what they're hearing or feeling being as true, and then lastly, like forgive and accept.
Yeah, that's it. Well, and we have to be careful here because we can get into performative forgiveness too. Like I'll just perform to can I get out of this? And that's not true equanimity. The true equanimity is really being able to sit with whatever that is. Usually for the people I work with, it's this idea that they made bad choices, they made mistakes in life. They're just really hard on themselves for that versus this is just experience. And if you didn't have those experiences, you probably wouldn't have the same degree of compassion or humility, character refinement that keeps us out of the hierarchy and brings us closer into unity with one another. So hierarchy is it's an interesting game to play in, but it's not the truth. There's no universal law that says there's hierarchy. Absolutely not. That's just a fun distortion to the game. It's like the hall, the fun house with the mirrors that go won't won't, they're all wobbly. The other thing I would say is you asked what are we all doing here? I have a British friend who's like, just a bit of fun. So think of this, why do we go on the playground and go on the slide? We climb up the stairs, so Jacob's ladder, and then we slide down. So there is like what I've been guided to bring into a lot of my work is playfulness. And when we bring playfulness in, there's more levity. We're not taking things so seriously. We're not trying to get it right. That's the biggest wounded motivation on the planet, trying to get it right. Right. And this starts to free things up to not take ourselves so seriously and just see things through a different prismatic and one that doesn't have judgment or right or wrong as the filter, but just is. And like, I often will just see people going around their day and like, look, they're playing the go to the store game today. Like, they're just, we're here for an experience,
Yeah,
you know?
definitely. So for people who are interested in this type of healing work, but they've had an experience in life where they have not experienced, let's say, love from families, friends, or anything. Because I guess in my perspective, I would assume there just has to be a lot of self-compassion and a lot of self-love when you're undergoing shadow work. So if you haven't had that before, how can you give that to yourself? Like, what does that process look like exactly if you've not been surrounded by that?
Well, I mean, this is definitely where, you know, peership and community can come in, but underneath it all, don't forget, every single one of us is source, an expression of source. So you can go direct to the source, pun intended. Ask for a direct experience of oneness, of love. I've only experienced it one time and it's undefinable. I can't really put it in the human terms. And that's completely within your capability to request that from into inner source it yourself. And once you have that as a reference, you don't need it externally because it's coming from the internal, and you only need 3 seconds of it to really understand it and embody it. And it's true, most humans on the planet are not in a state where they can offer that. And rather than stay in a mindset of resistance or resentment or judgment of that, it's like, why would we expect, you know, children to be able to do what they haven't mastered yet? It's okay. We wouldn't expect that of them. Go direct inward. Like anyone who's drawn to your channel or the subject, there's a reason. And what they're seeking is seeking them. And it's their remembering that they are source love underneath all of it. And it will find a way. Love always finds a way.
Definitely. So let's say somebody has done a lot of shadow work, a lot of like personal healing, et cetera. How long does it take for the reality to shift?
Oh, that's an interesting question. Well, oh, now you're getting into this is where I really like to geek out. So I like to work with multidimensional templates. I see geometries at the base of everything. And it creates like a holographic projection. So think of a kaleidoscope, and when you turn the kaleidoscope, all the geometry changes like that. So there isn't a linear time for this. This is where it gets kind of strange. It's a little bit quantum. And people often almost not even remember what it was like before because then they're in their new non-distorted template, right? So that the answer is instantaneously. Yeah. And I just, with the help of a fellow psychic healer, discovered one of my blind spots this week. So see, sometimes we need help. Like I do this for a living day in and day out, and this one still eluded my my magnifying glass. My shadow distortion was it can't be easy, and I didn't know it was there. So I shifted it, and the very next day, like all the stuff started to change, and I went, oh, right, okay. I laugh and I make light of this, and that's very intentional, but I also understand it can be very heavy. I mean, we took on a lot of ancestral trauma, and for that one, I kept seeing one of my ancestors' faces, and I understood where this in probably had its origin, and then creates an echo pattern. And if we don't get to it, it goes directly to our kids. So there's a lot that we're all doing now to change the legacy that our children are inheriting.
Okay, I have two questions here out of curiosity. So I know you spoke about the story of it can't be easy. A lot of us have that. A lot of us, I have that too. Very problematic. But what if, I'm just going to throw this because I'm just wondering. So what if during the pre-birth planning phase, somebody wanted a life where it wasn't going to be easy.
Right. Great question. And absolutely. And when I started doing physical healing for people, when I used to do that, once in a while I would come across a person I couldn't change their ailment. And I was told that's because it's there by design, by their own soul, and you can't touch it because it's serving a purpose. So, yes, there are instances where it's not meant to be shifted. That is what the soul wanted to experience.
Definitely. And then, secondly, this is going to be, I don't know why I'm going to ask this question. It might not make any sense and it could be completely stupid. But okay, the whole ancestral trauma. I'm very interested in this because, from, and this is just my perspective, so I would love to hear your thoughts. If we are incarnating into different bodies, right, with its own ancestral heritage, then you're currently in this body, right? And then with this, with a certain lineage and a certain ancestry. So the trauma, each time you come from that ancestry, you were going to embody that regardless of the, I mean, every time you incarnate into that ancestry, is that true? Or.
Help me, I'm not sure I follow the question exactly, so just say it a different way so I understand it more clearly.
Okay, let's say this lifetime I'm, Black and Mexican, and there's a lot of ancestral trauma with slavery, right? So am I, do I have that in my DNA? And then let's say next lifetime I don't know, I'm a Norwegian woman. So am I going to have that ancestral trauma at that time? Do you know what I mean?
So I'll answer that. So yeah, because it can get really complicated. We'll keep it simple. From lifetime to lifetime, you can go 180 on what you're experiencing because the spirit is basically animating the local body. Like I talk about it in terms of like horse and rider, and we got to pick what's on the lot. And on the lot of humanity, there's just, well, there's a lot of trauma, pun intended. Like, the horse body, right, is kind of like a nervous, jumpy horse. It comes with a lot of fear. It has the epigenetics. It's got the traumas that weren't resolved. And so spirit has to come in and be like, oh my God, how do you ride this thing? It's got a mind of its own. It's scared. It's like, and that's a lot of the work I've been doing over the last year and a half with my higher love family. And I didn't know this when I was told to create that thing, that it was all going to be body focused. And it's talking to the body, reminding the body that it's love, helping the body come up and out of those trauma brain, reptilian brain states, and remembering that actually its design is to be an incredible, I mean, the technology of this form and what it was designed for is just amazing. We're just scratching the surface of what the human body is capable of. But yeah, to answer your point, like we're experiencing vastly different things because we want to get like kind of all the different experiences. We're not just in one line. But if I really want to blow your mind, in 2016, during one of my vacations, I use the term lightly, because every time I get sent on vacation, like I get these downloads, and I was shown that we all, like, there are tw we share oversouls. So there are 12 humans, and I was taken on tour around the planet of what shares my oversoul. And so this is where it gets really fun. There's an ascetic in a cave in the Himalayas named Gujitran. We share the same oversoul, so we're really connected. And he lives in his constant state of samadhi. And I would take my healing cases to him, and he would help me. And so I coined the phrase the inner tech transfer of the multidimensional self. So when you connect with another fractal, whether it's on this planet, in a different dimension, on a different planet, somewhere else, maybe a more evolved species or race of beings, and they have innovative technology, that fractal and your fractal connect, they can do intertech transfer. The way we take Peace Corps and we transfer technology around from country to country here, you can do that within your own multidimensional structure. Talk about an advancement and an evolution and massively accelerating. So my healing abilities, I didn't develop them as a human. They were directly informed from this level of technology. And I realize it's still a little bit leading edge, or what I guess, whatever they call the bleeding edge, but I know there's a reason why I went into that state of remembering, not only to shift the way I show up here and what I can bring through, but to then make that available for everyone else too, and that we don't have to just kind of stay stuck in the dark ages on the planet.
What do you think? I'm going to say healing in general. This includes like healthcare, of course. What do you think this looks like in 20 years? Do you think people would be more open-minded to new ways of healing, different ways of healing, or do you think it's still going to be considered
Yeah.
a fringe?
It's already on. It's already changing. I was told to drop everything, walk away from everything a few years ago, and I went on a mountain in North Carolina. And when I came back out and flipped on YouTube and was watching, I was like, what happened? Why all of a sudden more and more people are talking about this? So between near-death experiencers sharing their experiences, the psychedelic revolution is on. So I literally have met Amazon executives who thought I was a nut job 6 years ago, and now they're doing journeys and they're using some of the same vocabulary. I always use the example of Van Leeuwenhoek, who invented the microscope. And he was driven by joy and curiosity. He was an amateur, he wasn't university trained. His neighbors thought he was a bit of a strange guy, right? Definitely a weirdo for seeing wee little beasties under the microscope. But now he's the father of microbiology, and our entire planet's healthcare system is dependent on microbiology. We're going through the same thing with multidimensionality. We're remembering that there's a much, much, much bigger reality than the one that our eye can see. So he innovated microbiology and the ability to see using lenses. We have the ability, the inner eye has rods and cones, just like our regular eyes do. So the pineal gland actually has rods and cones to process information from different spectrums and dimensions. So it's on and it's moving very quickly. So to answer your question, that's a long answer, but I'll be stunned if we're at the same level of technology between what AI is facilitating. In a lot of ways, when you think about it, if we do not have to spend as much time doing rote tasks and even things such as writing, we are free to develop ourselves more spiritually and to develop our consciousness if we don't just have to meet all the basic needs. So
That's true, yeah.
I'm an optimist because I understand that we're co-creating our reality. So I train myself, to see that and to focus there and to contribute to that. But here's the trick, without the level of attachment I used to have. So if it all goes to hell in a handbasket, hey, that's an experience too, that's valid, and that's okay too.
Well, Aisha, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a wonderful conversation. And if people, I have a feeling several people will want to contact you. How can they find you?
You can find me at my website, thefoundationislove.com or multidimensionalu.com.
Fantastic. Everyone, thank you for joining us. And thank you so much, Aisha.
Thank you so much, Deanna.